on the speakerphone. So hopefully that'll work if I don't have to hold anything down. And so I want to thank everyone for joining me that has been able to get on. I'm going to just start out in the book of Ephesians, and probably read the first three chapters, mainly with the sole purpose of just trying to think about again how the Apostle Paul was an apostle, which is means he was a commissioned one. Also meant he was a chosen one. And we know that he was chosen for a certain task. So let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and start in Ephesians 3:1. So Heavenly God and Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time and opportunity to share your word. We trust that you will be with each one and give us the understanding that you would like us to have, and that we might be better students as we try to understand all the many different ways that the Lord has spoken to different ones. I even think that we are chosen, but I just don't think that we have necessarily the same exact responsibilities that the Apostle Paul had. So it makes it it makes it unique when we think about the Apostle Paul as just being a man and as a human being like you and I, chosen. He was chosen for more responsibilities and more tasks, more jobs, given much more information, and actually even fulfilled some of Christ's ministry after he returned to the after the death, burial, and resurrection that the Lord did. And we also know that after that, the Apostle Paul was chosen and given the message of the Mysterion, and that the Lord actually spoke to him much as the Lord spoke to Moses in a unique way. And so that makes him very special. I think when we think about all the things that the Lord accomplished through Paul and how faithful that Paul was, he never claimed to be perfect in the flesh, but he certainly wanted to do whatever the Lord's bidding was, and I'd say did his level best with the Lord's help to be able to accomplish that. So we thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. We ask that you would be with us tonight now as we begin our lesson. So it starts out by saying, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ. Notice it says, by the will of God. I think that is God's desire at work there. It wasn't something that was forced on him, but rather it was something that Paul wanted to do. He asked the Lord to tell him, what would you have me to do? And the Lord begins to share with him and actually gives him more than just one message, but actually gives him messages to speak to Gentiles and to speak to some of the other saints. And I think that includes you and I, that he does it through his word and through his epistles, especially the last seven that he wrote. And it says it's to the saints, which means the holy ones. It doesn't mean we have to die to become a saint. We are already a saint. The Lord made it that way. He did it when he provided the sin offering for us. He says this book is addressed to those which are at Ephesus, but we also know that Ephesus was a circular letter, and it wasn't meant just for that particular city. So it was rather meant to be passed around and for other saints to hear it. And it says it's also addressed to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And that is certainly something that we want to be. We want to be faithful to the Lord, and we want to do whatever the Lord would have us to do. And we ask and pray for His help, that He might guide us so that others might come our way and that we might have opportunities. He goes on to say in verse 2, grace be to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know as we read this, this is not something that Paul necessarily deserved, but it was something that when the Lord deals with us in grace, He pays us a careful and special attention and also protects us in ways that the enemy can't really attack us as strong as he tries to. And also we have the peace. And the Lord doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to be frightened or scared. But rather, He wants us to have peace. And it says it comes from God our Father. And then it says, and from, or even from, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It doesn't mean that we're not blessed now, but there's spiritual blessings that we're going to enjoy in the heavenlies when we are resurrected and no longer in the flesh. We will experience the truth with the Lord in ways that we haven't in the past. He says that according as He has chosen us, as every body member that He has chosen, to be a part of this calling. He says that He did it before the foundation of the world. So before we ever came into existence, before the actual foundation of the world had been laid down, we were chosen. So it's something that the Lord, in His plans and His purposes, had done for us and to us. And so it makes us again, I think, have a special connection with the Lord, and I think have the ability to understand some of the mysterious truths that were given to Paul to reveal to all the saints. So he said that they chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. And so it definitely means there's a purpose, you know, that we were chosen. Be holy means to be sanctified for the Master's use. And it means that we are, again, in a special position that He wants to use us and be better servants to Him and for Him. And we're to do it without blame before Him in love. So that's the reason why the Lord has chosen us. It was all done in love. He says in verse 5, having predestinated us, which means He predetermined it, which means He had a plan. And we were part of His plan that took a thought and purpose. And He is going to be near us and going to be revealing to us what we can do for Him and how He wants us to do it. So predestinated to us into the adoption, it says of children, but in really it's a sonship adoption. So it's better if you think of this adoption as a sonship, much in the same way the other saints that are body members have been chosen. And it says it's been done by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Sometimes we ask ourselves the question.
On your computer.
Okay. Let's see where I was. Predestinated, sonship, according to the good pleasure. You are?
You was in Ephesians 1:5.
Okay. Then it's the pleasure of his will. So I was going to say that some people question why we were chosen. And why we were chosen is because he decided to do that. He had a certain group of people, saints, that he wanted to be part of this, and it was his will. So I don't think it was a thing that was forced upon us. I think it was something that he wanted to accomplish, though, and wanted to use us. So it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. This was being accepted in the beloved, I think, was all covered under that, and when he became the sin offering for us. And he did that by going to the cross and dying and then being buried and then rose again on the third day and then returned to heaven. And so that's how we know we have been accepted in the beloved. We're not really worthy of granting grace, but it's something that the Lord had a plan. And as we can see from other passages in scriptures, there's other groups like Israel and other Gentiles that are included in the book of John. So these different plans that the Lord has, or the different callings that he has, is just the way he works. He seems to roll these things out when they're needed. And he rules these things out when we ask for help. And he wants us to pray to him. And he will answer our prayer. Sometimes the answer is no. But he will answer our prayer and grant prayers for whatever is best for our, not only our plan, but his plan. He says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That's very, very precious blood that he shed. But it was effective. It worked. He says the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so that's another thing that we should bank on, that this is all based upon his grace, not necessarily anything that we have done. Other, I think, than having faith. And acknowledging what the Lord is doing. That's exactly what, that's the kind of relationship he wants with us, each and every one of us. And he says that in the dispensation, and I'm in verse 10, for the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So there's going to be a time when the Lord will be returning to the earth, and there will be a time when we will be in the heavens, the heaven of heavens, with our Lord and with other saints, other body members. He says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, which I have the idea that that means predetermined, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I don't think any of us would want that to be any other way. It'd all be according to his will. And we fall in line with whatever he's asking us to do. He was going to say that we should be to the praise of his glory, which first trusted in Christ. So that gives us a reason that we should appreciate the fact that he is going to use us, it says, to the praise of his glory. He goes on in 13, he says, in whom we also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that, you received, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Just like we have that in something very similar in the book of John, there's going to be a new earth. This old earth is going to be destroyed, and there's going to be a new earth. And there's an inheritance that's going to be found for those who are going to dwell in that new earth. He goes on to say in 14, which is the earnest or down payment. And he says, of our inheritance until the redemption, or that I would say the total commitment has been made. You know, there's a time when the Lord appears, we will appear with him in glory. And that's when that final redemption and purchased possession comes into effect. And he says, it's done to the praise of his glory. We can look at him, see what he's done, see what he's doing, and we can appreciate all the many things he does in grace and in love and in caring for us. And our responsibility is to respond in faith and give our lives over to the Lord and to his word. And we need the rightly divided word. Some of the promises that are given in some of Paul's other writings really don't apply to us. But this book of Ephesians certainly does. He says in 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I don't believe this particular truth is necessarily for everybody to understand, but I think for those who have been chosen, they will understand. He will open up their understanding. And I do think there's a requirement on our hands that we would want this, that we would desire this knowledge and this wisdom, and utilize it in a way that would be the most effective for him. He says in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I think this is all done through the Spirit who dwells within us, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So he has an investment in us, in that we are part and partial of his inheritance in the saints. So that's where it's at. It's in us. You know, it's in the Spirit, but I think it's also in us as we recognize it and continue to utilize it. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? And I've said this before, but the power that he gives us, it's limited to the degree that he doesn't overpower us. But rather that it is giving us the information and the things that we need to believe. He gives us the power to do it. He says it's power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So it's his work, but he can control it, just like a lot of the lesser things can be are controlled if we put some other things with it so that we don't blow a fuse. To me, it just means that we're going to be the most effective. We'll be thinking like him, living like him, acting like him, loving like him, and sharing the truth with others who the Lord will give us opportunities to share with. He says, I muted it again, so it shouldn't interrupt us again. He goes on to say, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. It says that he has put all things under his feet and has gave him to be the head. There's no higher position than being the headship of Christ, being part and parcel of that. He says over all things to the church. He says, which is his body. That's the church he's referring to. I think of the church as the called out assembly. I think of it as a special group that the Lord is going to use in a very special way. He goes on to say the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Ultimately, that's the goal. That we be part of his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. And that's by his desire. That's his want to. Now I'm going to turn over to chapter 2. And it says, in you has he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Which when we were in the flesh, we were dead in trespasses and sins because we were sinners. And it was going to take to become a member of his body and to be chosen and predestinated by him for us to be dead, really dead, you know, and then made alive. It's to me, it's a change that we all have to go through as body members. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan and those demons that follow after him, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And the Lord's going to handle Satan, and he's going to get his just due in the end. But he has a lot of freedom now to try to disrupt things and to have us make mistakes and not follow after the scriptures that are so clearly written to us and for us. He says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation or citizenship in times past in the lust of our flesh. By the way, we can reckon that flesh to be dead, but it's not. It's just not effective when we reckon it to be dead, and we don't allow it to work in the flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. I do think these things drive us to the Lord. These challenges, these trials, and that they're in the end, they're good for us. Because the Lord uses Satan in that way to make us better saints. He says, we all had our conversation twice past lust flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. And it's the only way we could be saved is by grace, because we're not, you know, we're not saved because we did anything, but we've been saved because of what the Lord has done. It's His grace. It's His thought of saving us. It says, and He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just think about that. Just for a second. What that means. To be raised up together and be made to sit together in the heavenly places. What a privileged position that we are going to have and share with Him. And we will complete Him and He will complete us. He says, in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And by grace, we are saved through faith. It's not our faith, it's His faith. But He gives it to us. He gives us the faith. And I'm certainly glad that He does. Because that means it's indwelling in us and with us. He says, and that not of yourselves. Because we can't boast about this or take any credit. Other than that, I think spending some time and making a commitment and having a desire to believe the Lord. It says it is the gift of God, not of works. He doesn't want any of us going around being proud and boastful. But rather, He says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. We have no reason to do that. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus into good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. I know that sometimes we, as we grow up, we have differing opinions of what we think we ought to be doing, where we ought to be serving, and yet the Lord will show us that way, His way, if we will allow it. He says, wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision for that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So he's just referring to those that are part of Israel and part of those that are part of the Gentiles. That the Apostle Paul was part of. He dealt with both. But mainly Peter. You know, Peter dealt with Israel more than Paul did, but he did have a message for Gentiles and for the Jews that were chosen to be part of this body of Christ. So he goes on to say, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes before were made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He's our peace. He has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of partitions between us. So whatever was causing indecision between the Jews, Israel, and the Gentiles, that gets wiped away by the Lord. There's no longer that partition or partition that causes us to be in a different understanding of the Lord. I think the Lord gives the body members an understanding that's unique and special. So he says, having abolished in the flesh the enmity and those things that the Jews and the Gentiles had been divided, but now they're being brought together. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances were to make in himself up 21 new man. That's a unique expression that you and I have, a position that we have being in the one new man. So, making peace. The Lord wants this peace throughout His universe, His creation. And as a result, just being part of the one new man in the heavenly places, where not all the saints are going to go, but where the saints that have been chosen to be part of this body of Christ, we will enjoy that place, being with the Lord, being part of His body. He says, that for through him we both have access by one Spirit and to the Father. This is not where something where you have to make an appointment. You know, if you want to talk to the Lord, you can pray to him. And he will answer your prayer. It may not always be yes, but he will answer and he will speak. And I think give you better, more understanding if that's what you're asking for and praying for. Because now, therefore, we're no more strangers, foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed. I muted that again. I don't know why that having this, I guess it's AI turning that back on. But I muted it again, so it shouldn't bother us again. So he goes on to say in verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together. You can imagine with him doing the framing and bringing us together, that it's done in a very special way, unique way, exactly the way he wanted it. I think God is a creator, and when he creates things, he can create them perfectly. He said, let fitly framed together grow up into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, for the final chapter I'm going to read today, this is Ephesians chapter 3. It says, for this cause, I call the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you've heard, and it's a since you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mysterion, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mysterion of Christ. So there's more than one mystery. There's a mystery of Christ, and there's also the mysterion of his body. And he goes on to say, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of God. So no one can find the mysterion truth in the Old Testament, because it wasn't revealed then. It was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed into his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So we don't necessarily, we don't have any apostles or commissioned ones or those that give prophecy today other than the Scriptures. And it says it's done by the Spirit. So we get our instructions from the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he can, and we shouldn't expect to have any more words added to the Bible that the Lord has provided for us. He says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body, and it's, if you use this word, joint heirs, joint body, and joint partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel. And the word gospel just means good news. It means it's a good message, and that he is revealing it and just going to complete us. He says, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, and to me who am less and the least of all saints. This is Paul's, as he looked at himself and who he was, that he, as far as he was concerned, he was the last of these apostles. The others, the 12, had already had been filled, and other people, prophets and stuff that were necessary, had been appointed and used. But he says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, this shows you that Paul would have us to be humble. He set a really excellent example to be humble. He says that this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable, and these are the ones that can't be found, can't be searched out, the unsearchable riches of Christ. So it means to us that there will be more things revealed when we are taken into heaven, appearing in heaven with the Lord. He says in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship and the sharing, which the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So again, I think we're a unique set of, his body that are filling him up and he's filling us up. He says it's a church, the manifold wisdom of God. So things that perhaps God would still, depending on where people are resurrected to, maybe not have all the information you and I will have. He says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. I like the way that was said, rather than having our faith come in, but it's the faith of him. We can trust his faith. Wherefore, I desire that you faith not by my tribulations for you. And these tribulations are the things that test us. And these tests should help us and guide us along our way. He says, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend. I think of this as a prayer, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth. There's four dimensions mentioned here, breadth, length, depth, and height. And of course, I have to think that heaven far above all will have four dimensions, not just three. So may be able to comprehend with all the saints what the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. In other words, this is not just something you have in your head, but it's also in your heart and in your life that you have this gift. He says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the ultimate goal. We would fill him up, and he would fill us up. Not that to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So obviously I could go on and
Bob just hung up on me. I was looking down. Well, guys, I think that was Bob's study. And I'll go ahead and close in prayer for him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day and all the blessings you give us in it. And Lord, we thank you for the message. And Lord, the greatest message ever told is the mystery, Lord. We thank you so much for that. And being part of the body, we've got the best blessing that's ever been given through that body. And Lord, we just thank you so much for this word, for your for your shed blood and what it means to the body. Lord, we ask that you be with all those that need comforting, need prayer, and we just have so many people that are on the list. Ronnie's got a list, and I'm sure others have a list. So, Lord, search the hearts of those and be with them. And, Lord, be with us in the days to come, and be with those that are speaking at the conference and those that are traveling. For it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.